You're listening
so
too.
Such a
short amount of time to do it in. A Mamma Mia podcast.
From Mamma Mia, welcome to The Spill, your daily pop culture fix. I'm Key Reese.
And I'm Laura Brodnick.
And LP, I am so excited that it is the weekend. Do you have any dashing plans, lol?
Oh, yeah, just want to go meet up with some friends, go to the movies, go to a club and dance, except I'll never do any of that again because we're never getting out of lockdown. No, it's fine. It's such little things I get excited about now, like I'm going to go on a massive long walk, going to, you know, do some cooking, make some cocktails by myself, but that's okay. What about you?
We have decided that we are going to treat ourselves and we're going to order in like from one of the fancy restaurants
because they do
like
such a good idea
meal. Yeah, so I'm like very much looking forward to that, and obviously all of the excellent stuff that's out on television at the moment, some of the screeners for the new shows that I don't want to mention, but that is what my weekend is going to involve, and I'm actually looking forward to it. Just a break from working. Well, it is Friday, which means it is Weekend Watch. We have two amazing new series, one devilishly funny and one a rom-com. Also, a quick reminder that we have our Watch Club episode dropping tomorrow, which is on Dr. Death. So if you haven't seen that, it's on Stan, so go and watch it today. Sneak out on your lunch break. And then tomorrow, the episode will be in your podcast feed to listen to. All right, well, now all of that's done. Shall we get into these juicy entertainment news headlines of the day?
I have news.
What's the hot goss? I want more headlines.
Well, kicking things off today, we need to talk about the news that is just everywhere this morning, and that is the fact that Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney over the release of her new movie, Black Widow. Just so everyone knows, this is my kind of version of Real Housewives. Like, this is the drama I live for. I am so shocked by this. I'm trying to put into language that you'll understand for the geeks out there. Yep. So Scarlett filed a lawsuit against the Walt Disney Company in the Los Angeles Supreme Court, alleging breach of contract when Black Widow debuted simultaneously in theaters and on Disney Plus, their streaming service, recently. So her lawsuit claims that the day-to-day release model, so putting it out on streaming services and in cinemas at the same time, forfeited potential box office revenue in exchange for new subscribers to the company's streaming platform. So basically she's saying, you guys did me dirty by not releasing my movie only in cinemas, and you did it in a grab to get more people to sign up to your service. And the lawsuit itself has actually been called a real game changer in Hollywood because John Belinsky, who is Scarlett's attorney, said in a statement to Vanity Fair, "It's no secret that Disney is releasing films like Black Widow directly onto Disney Plus to increase subscribers and therefore boost the company's stock price, and that it's hiding behind COVID-19 as a pretext to do so." Oh, that is so intense. This will surely not be the last case where Hollywood talent stands up to Disney and makes it clear that whatever the company may pretend, it has a legal obligation to honor its contracts. And Key, this is where it gets real housewifey, because Disney has come back with a statement and it is quite the burn. So a Disney spokesperson said in a statement, "There is no merit whatsoever to this filing. The lawsuit is especially sad and distressing in its callous disregard to the horrific and prolonged global effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. Disney has fully complied with Mr. Hansen's contract, and furthermore, the release of Black Widow on Disney Plus with premiere access has enhanced her ability to earn additional compensation on top of the $20 million she has already received to date." So obviously there was already a bit of drama behind this movie because Scarlett Johansson plays Natasha Romanoff in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It was a big deal for her to get a standalone movie. She was the first female lead of the franchise to get her own standalone movie, and she had to wait a very long time. There was a lot of back and forth around whether or not that movie was ever going to happen. Obviously, with COVID-19, the premiere date was repeatedly pushed back until this year. And according to Scarlett Johansson, part of her wanting to do the movie that she has really spearheaded for a long time is that she was promised a wide theatrical release for the movie when she first inked the deal. She also says that her pay packet was going to be largely based on box office receipts. So she was kind of counting on the movie to perform really well in theaters to get that extra money. So if you kind of look at the stats, Black Widow opened at $80 million at the domestic box office and made an additional $78 million abroad, which did give movie theaters a really kind of big post-COVID-19 push. And Disney, who, like many other streaming services, rarely shares their numbers unless they kind of have a newsworthy reason to do so. So the film earned $60 million on Disney Plus. However, just to kind of be clear about what's happened here, in the second weekend of Black Widow being out in cinemas, ticket sales dropped by 68%. So now its total box office takings kind of sit around $319 million globally, which, even though there was so much build up to this movie coming out, it's now one of the lowest grossing Marvel films ever, according to data, which is probably why Scarlett Johansson is very upset.
Yeah, I found the story fascinating when I saw the headline and kind of clicked in and reading her statement from her lawyer. It makes sense to me. You know, there's this big competition between all of these streaming giants for share of the market. And of course, what happened is that they would have seen in the midst of COVID when it was really bad, they were forced to release things direct to streaming services, right? And they obviously saw the correlation between doing so, subscriber growth, because Disney, you have to basically sign up to get this and then also have to pay for it on top of that. But then obviously seeing the impact it has on their stock prices and being like, okay, well, we can kind of draw this out for a little longer. Now, the other thing about it that I found interesting was the fact that they do sometimes stagger the releases, right? So typically they'll have, and this was even before this was started when Netflix first started, because to be considered in the running for big awards, they need to have a theatrical release. So they would release it in the theater and then release it onto the streaming service. And so the other streaming services continued that practice because of COVID, but typically they have been staggered. But I've noticed with Disney, they've been doing same day releases. I initially thought that was a great thing, but now looking into it, I can see that it's a bit murky as to who that's actually benefiting, because America, although the numbers are still super high and it is very dire over there, they are, for all intents and purposes, up and running. Like, people can get to theaters. And I thought that Disney, by including that $20 million mention of how much she's been paid, it was so backhanded. It was just like, you should be thankful that you're getting $20 million in the midst of a COVID pandemic. It's like, hang on a minute, we're not saying that. And you can't really turn around and say that to her and expect her not to. Like, they stifled her decades-long kind of campaign to get her own standalone movie. And you've just seen it as a great opportunity to grab additional money, additional subscribers, and get those stocks up. So it feels a bit dirty to me, and I'm on the side of ScarJo in all of this. So episode 4 of The Bachelor aired last night, and LB, Jimmy, did warn us there would be some drama, and boy, did Channel 10 deliver. So after scoring a single date that included a doggo, sexy stand-up paddleboarding, or should I say sexy straddling paddleboarding,
straddleboarding, oh, I see what you did there,
and a couple of microwave you foods meals with a side of a sneaky pash, clear favourite and wifey of the season, that is Sydney-based marketing manager and one-time actress Holly, got a rose. And meanwhile, back at the mansion, business development manager and hater of pilots, that's Stephanie, is left fuming that Holly got a first date before she did. And she comes out swinging when talking to the other gals.
So Holly's a How are you guys finding this? Because I avoid Holly like the plague, to be honest.
I mean, I can barely tolerate 10 minutes with her, so having to spend an entire day with her would be like eating nails.
I still can't believe she was touching his ass in front of everyone for us all to see, like, just all over him.
It's just gross, man.
I mean, hopefully, like, Jimmy sends the dog back and not her today.
That'd be a much happier addition to the house. I actually think she might be the first person to come back from one-on-one time without a rose and without a kiss.
That would just be like
a bucket of cold water over her stupid head.
Okay, it looks like our villain has arrived. Anyway, let's fast forward to the rose ceremony. Jimmy arrives and immediately pulls Holly for a chat, which absolutely sends Stephanie, who calls Holly a, get this, see you next Tuesday. And if you don't know what that means,
Google it.
Google it. But this time she said it to Holly's best friend in the house, which is Brooke, very sweet, very wholesome Brooke, who was not impressed and thought it was completely inappropriate, and she gave Hol the heads up. So after Brooke fills in Holly, Stephanie comes inside with a couple of her other gals and they all sit down, and Holly is determined not to let this be high school, and she confronts Stephanie, who seems to be conveniently suffering from amnesia.
That was not my plan, to go and pull Jimmy aside. And I think, like, any really horrific words that were said, particularly in front of my best friends in the house, I think
horrific
it's probably...
Words?
Yeah, pretty horrific word. I think those kind of things aren't necessary, particularly...
Are you referring to something in particular?
Yes.
Can I ask what it was?
Well, I mean, I think if you say a word like that, you should probably remember what word it was, but it's fine.
Don't
anyway.
You think that... Your behaviour is slightly more inappropriate than me questioning...
Than calling someone to see you next Tuesday? Probably not.
When did someone call you a... I mean, I've got a microphone on, so I'd love to hear the playback.
What a...
I do not have a recollection of calling her...
That.
Isn't she kind of on that?
That was my favourite moment of the whole show. It was like, am I watching a true crime documentary right now? It's like, stop.
Literally.
Let's play the tape.
I recall a lot of things, a lot of bitchiness, a lot of things like that, but I've never... Have we had an instance like this in primetime television in the family? Well, not really family, but have we had the gals calling each other,
yeah,
see you next Tuesdays before?
Cast your mind back to, I think it was Abby Chatfield's season with Matt Agnew, but it wasn't just the C word, it was... Dog C-U-N-T. Do you remember this?
Oh, my God, I remember that.
I remember that. Me stumbling of how to say that is exactly how we stumbled, of like, how do we put this in a headline on the site without getting banned by Facebook? Yeah, that was like a couple of seasons ago, and there was a huge investigation around that. Obviously, this was sold as the big drama, and so everyone kind of sat down to watch it, and it was kind of captivating, but... Do you think this is some kind of manufactured drama to give this season a bit of a boost? Because we know that there must be some concern around ratings and kind of driving interest to the show. And do you think this is their first push at manufactured drama, and if they kind of pulled it off?
I think it's a little bit of push and pull between Stephanie and the producers. Like, I think that she's very much kind of been like, perhaps I'll just be like the dirty pie girl for this season.
Right.
You know, a bit too good for The Bachelor, because, you know, she's like, oh, he's gorgeous. And then she finds out he's a pilot, and she's like, oh, pilots. I've dated so many pilots. They're disgusting. They're just all dirty cheaters. That kind of vibe. Like, I think that there's... like a way to be a bitch without being horrible, but she is kind of veering on that just with the language, because a lot of the girls in the house are not kind of taking it. But I do think it's quite a mutually beneficial thing between them. Like, I think strategically she's come on, and it probably is her personality, but she's probably seen it work before. I think it was Lorena was the dirty pie chick who was like so offended that she got taken on a date and given a pie, which I love pies, so
yeah, you'd be all
and Australia
pie.
Love pies. That did not go down well, but I do think it's mutually beneficial. I think she's definitely playing this role, because like, she didn't just say it once, she said it multiple times, and she's like, hand on heart, I don't remember saying that. And then it's just, there's so much there. Like, she is very aware. Like, I think sometimes we get wrapped up because editing has become such a big thing. And there have been clear editing fails already this season that I have seen. But in this case, I really do think she is playing the part, and it's kind of working in Channel 10's favour for sure.
Yeah, look, maybe that's true. I just expect more from TV villains nowadays and a bit of petty backstabbing and use of the C word, but we'll see. I just want people, if you're going to be a villain, commit, get creative.
All right, you've heard it here first from Australia's number one podcast villain.
That is me. Oh my God, I need to lead into that more.
I finished my work week on my couch, ordered some food. It's time for Weekend Watch.
Our recommendations of what to watch this weekend.
All right, I'm going to start first today with my weekend watch. And I actually had a completely different weekend watch, but we kind of had a conversation this morning in our planning meeting, and I was just gushing over this series that I'm watching on Stan that was actually a recommendation. And I have mentioned it on the show, but I didn't give it like a big push. And honestly, the series has saved my lockdown. It's been my little kind of like piece of joy. And I even feel myself getting emotional about it, which is so ridiculous.
Aww.
I think I'm just so weird at the moment. I think I just, anyway. guy. It's called This Way Up and it's on Stan. There's two series out and it was originally released back in 2019 but only got popped onto Stan, I think, at the end of April. So it's a couple months old but new to me. And I think I've just started kind of seeing Stan putting it at like the top
of the... Up in the splash.
Yeah, so I think that they've coined on that people are really enjoying it and pushing into it. Anyway, so I'll tell you a bit about it. The story kind of focuses on Anya, and she's played by Aisling Bea, who is an actor and comedian and also wrote and produced the series. So Anya is an Irish woman. She's living in London, and we meet her when she's kind of putting her life back together after suffering what she calls a teeny weeny nervous breakdown. And the brilliant thing about the series is that refuses to shy away from really important issues that are typically served to us with sadness or dread or no humor there. But instead, the writing is just so brilliant. You're laughing the whole way through and you really take comfort in being able to kind of relate to and almost see yourself in these characters. And it's almost like that devilish humor because we start the show seeing Anya's very successful older sister, Shona, who's played by Sharon Horgan. So Shona's picking Anya up from this very swanky rehab center. And as she's leaving, you know, the staff say, oh, do you have any feedback for us? And Anya just has this quick, brilliant response saying, oh, that there was a little bit of disappointment there around the lack of snacks and the absence of a jacuzzi. You know, it's a very serious, very weird time. She's about to go out into the world after, you know, having 3 months break, and she's still just like finding the humor and everything. And what I really like about it is that often when you see people on screen who might suffer from depression, they seem really sad all the time. They can't get out of bed. But I don't think we often see depicted on screen people who suffer from mental health very severely, but they're also functioning and holding down a job. So Anya in the series, she works as a very successful English teacher. So she's teaching immigrants who are moving to England English, basically. And in the classroom, she just excels. She is this wonderful teacher who, you know, uses the funniest pop culture references. Like in one of the episodes, she's playing like an episode of Love Island. And it's just like so, so funny. And she really uses like humor as a coping mechanism. And I think it's just so interesting seeing that on screen because, you know, mental health is a huge thing that a lot of people suffer from. But a lot of people, you know, have to get up every day and go to work or they can be functioning. And I just don't think we explore that enough. It's got it all there. There's love, there's mental health, sexuality, sibling relationships. And I wanted to also just touch on the fact that because it's set in London, they've really made it true to what you see in London. So the screen is colourful. It is so diverse. And there's no explanations for people of different ethnicities being on screen. It's just perfectly reflective of what life looks like living in London. It's called This Way Up. 30-minute episodes, which is just perfect. Charlie and I, every time we're feeling a bit down in lockdown, we're like, should we watch an episode of This Is Up? And the whole time we are laughing. It is just brilliant, especially with a glass of wine. Both seasons are available now. And please, if you love the show, like, let's talk about it in the Facebook group because I'm dying to have a chat about it.
Okay, so I'm recommending a new miniseries that is dropping on Amazon Prime Video today, and it's called The Pursuit of Love, and it's actually based on Nancy Mitford's famous novel of the same name. It came out in 1945, but it's been just a huge bestseller since then. So it's a romantic comedy drama set in Europe between two world wars, which I know doesn't make it seem like a romantic comedy, but that's definitely in there. And it centers on two cousins who have also grown up as best friends. So you've got Linda Radlett, played by Lily James, and Fanny Logan, played by Emily Beecham. So Fanny and Linda are living in Oxfordshire countryside, and they're kind of just coming into womanhood, I guess you would say. And they're really kind of impatiently waiting for life to begin. And even though they have kind of been raised as sisters, because Fanny's been raised by her aunt because her mum, who's kind of known as the bolter in the family, ran off and left her. So they've been raised as sisters, but the main difference is that Fanny has attended school, so she's really educated, and Linda has not attended school, so uneducated and also very much more wild, romantic. And the reason she didn't go to school is that her father loathes educated women, and her father is played by Dominic West, which I know Key wants to comment on. So the women kind of are on the hunt for an ideal husband, and over the three episodes, the three long episodes, because it's a mini series, you kind of see them go off in different ways and have different romances and lives, all while kind of this threat of another world war is looming. And even though it's kind of this wild love story, it's very much about their relationship. So the mini series was written, directed by Emily Mortimer, who also has a small role in the series, and it is just completely lush. Like, the costumes are beautiful, like the clothing, the hair and makeup. There's all these wild scenes in the country sides and parties in London and Paris. So if you're just stuck at home, whether you're in lockdown or not, it's kind of real frothy escapist television. And it also stars Andrew Scott as Lord Merlin, who I'm sure a lot of people would remember Andrew Scott as a hot priest from Fleabag. So it's three episodes. You could kind of binge it all in one day. The Pursuit of Love on Amazon Prime Video. It's just a really lush escapism watch.
Oh, I cannot wait. Well, thank you so much for listening to The Spill today. And why don't you do yourself a favor and hop on into our Facebook group? Just search The Spill on Facebook. It's fun. You get to see us in there. We're always commenting. It's a really good time. This episode of The Spill was produced by Laura Brodnick with audio production by Leah Porges. We'll see you at mamamia.com.au. Bye.
Bye.
Mamma Mia acknowledges the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.